Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we have Lottie on to share her positive home birth story. I already know a little bit about her birth, and I'm so excited to hear it all in person. Lottie is a lovely person, and we've just literally been catching up for the last 10 minutes, and I can't wait to hear her story. So, as always, get yourself comfortable and enjoy. Welcome, Lottie. Oh, it's so lovely to actually finally get this in. I know we've had two goes, haven't we? It's
been a long time coming, but we're here.
So why don't you tell us about yourself?
I'm Lottie. I am mum to nearly 6-month-old Beatrix, which has gone very, very fast. And I work in the fitness industry normally when I'm not on maternity leave. I'm a yoga instructor, mobility coach, that sort of thing. But yeah, in the depths of maternity leave as we speak, which I'm loving.
Oh, we'll catch up about your postpartum at the end. and how about telling us a bit about your pregnancy journey and how you went about preparing for your home birth?
Yeah, totally. I think, I think a lot of people, my starting place was an assumption of a hospital birth. Hypnobirthing was kind of on my radar and something that I wanted to learn a little bit more about. As I went through my pregnancy and learned lots of different things, I sort of had this real journey and a switch in my head. So like I said, I started from a place of assuming that I would be in a hospital. I think another big part of it for me is my sister, who is one of my best friends as well. She works in clinical litigation for the defense, and she deals with a lot of cases of birth that have sadly gone very, very off track. So I think I was very aware of those scenarios in my head, and I therefore sort of assumed that a hospital was the right place to be. But then on the flip side to that, like I said, I'm a mobility coach. I think I have a really deep understanding of my body and how it works. And I had this very strong gut feeling, should we say, that I was going to have a very fast birth. And the thought of transitioning into hospital in the latter stages of labor was making me feel quite anxious. And then once I learned more about the integral role of oxytocin from the hypnobirthing that I did, I realized that was less than ideal, and I was kind of looking at ways to negate that. So then I started thinking more and more about the possibility of a home birth, but it was a decision that I very much wanted to make with my head as well as my heart. And so I really put the work in and did the research, both in terms of understanding the data and the stats around home birth generally, but also really taking the time to make sure I understood my own pregnancy, the risks that I would be taking, the concept of absolute risk. And once I laid all of that out, I realized that actually I couldn't shake this feeling that a home birth felt like it was the right thing for me and my family. I really actually don't think it's the right thing for everyone. I'm also very aware that it's not possible, it's not on the cards for everyone. But I suppose the reason that I wanted to talk to you is that I think it might be right for more than the 1% of the population that are currently doing it. And I gained so much from listening to the other positive birth stories on your podcast. And so I guess I felt this need, this want to pay it forward and keep that conversation going, because I benefited from it so much.
Wow. And what did your sister think of your decision? Not to throw you under the bus.
Truthfully, I didn't tell her. I actually didn't tell any of my family, which I found really tough. I'm really close to my family. We have an amazing relationship. So I felt really torn about it. And that actually was a big part of it for me. It's like the thought of making them feel anxious made me feel anxious, and that made me not want to do it. And so I sort of was pushing it to the back of my mind, or sort of sweeping it under a rug, or any of those metaphors for most of my pregnancy. And they have since said, obviously they do now know, they have said, they are also really pleased. I think there is a general rhetoric around home birth, or at least again in the arena I was, that there is a feeling of it not being so, or a conversation about it not being safe. And so that is most people's, again, in my experience, that is most people's starting point with it.
Absolutely.
They now also feel, I hope they feel differently now that I've had the experience that I've had.
But that's so interesting, because one of my friends at the moment is planning for her home birth, and she's not told anyone as well, because she knows that those conversations are going to instill fear. And I think that's a really, really important point. You do not need to share where you're giving birth.
Yeah.
But did you sort of feel like you were lying? Because I don't really want to tell Tom's parents, but I think I would feel like I was lying a little bit. Or
the way that I squared it in my head was, well, I might end up in hospital anyway. so I was like, I really tried to do a good job of like keeping as open-minded as I possibly could. And I, again, wanted to make all of these decisions with my head. So I really felt like if at any point I felt that my pregnancy or birth became a medical situation, I had no qualms in cutting and running and just being like, that part of the story is over. So I sort of figured like, well, they're potentially only going to find out that I had a home birth if it all went to plan, and I could be like, it was fine. I mean, yeah, it's a tricky one. And like there was a lot of thought went into it. But yeah, they have said that they are pleased that they didn't know, because it would have made them feel as anxious as I thought it might.
Well, brilliant. You trusted your intuition and it sounded like it worked out.
Mm.
And for anyone listening, yeah, I would echo that you don't need to tell anyone. It's your choice. And sometimes it's not helpful to share.
And I also think as well, I think by the time I made the decision, I felt so sure. Like, again, it was like proper intuition, gut, like it so felt like the right thing for me, that I just really didn't want anyone to try and talk me out of it. But yeah, I just didn't need any other voices. Like I knew what I wanted, and I knew that I'd made that decision with great care, and it wasn't something that I'd sort of been, I think I was also very aware that I didn't want to feel like I was getting swept up in this idea of this like perfect home birth, that it was something I was going into with my eyes wide open, if that makes sense.
Lovely. And what hypnobirthing did you do?
I did the birth box.
Oh, did you? Oh,
box.
Cool.
I did an in-person course as well with Anna at Hackney Hypnobirthing.
I love her. She's been on the podcast. She shared her story.
Yeah, she said.
She's wicked.
Yeah,
she's so
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder you swept for a home birth. Nah, she's like, yeah. Yeah, amazing. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, best of two. Yeah, two. She's a strong birth educator. I really, really like her. I wonder if she'll listen to this. Hello, Anna, if you're here. Oh, you send it to her. She can share with the audience. Yeah, she's lovely. So, Lottie, tell us your story.
So there's a couple of sort of setup things I need to say with this story. The first of which was, because it took me such a long time to come to the decision that I wanted to have a home birth, I've basically been told pretty categorically by the hospital I was at that I had missed the boat with transferring to the home birth team at the hospital. Like, that ship had firmly sailed. So actually at that point I was like, right, it's too late, and I'm just gonna have to get on board with a hospital birth now, and that's fine. And I kind of come to terms with it. But then the next bit happened out of really what feels like serendipity and the stars aligning. I kind of, separate to this, I had been talking to a friend about breastfeeding. I felt very sure that I wanted to give breastfeeding my best crack. And she had said that, and I think as a lot of people, breastfeeding is a whole other journey in itself. She said that she'd wished that she'd done a little bit of research around breastfeeding support while she was pregnant, so that she wasn't struggling with breastfeeding with a newborn and trying to figure out what help she could get at the same time. So off the back of that bit of advice, I kind of listened to her, and long story short, I ended up in a massive Google hole, and I found our midwife, Emma, who I actually couldn't talk about her for a very long time without getting very emotional because she's impacted our lives so much now. And initially I just got in contact with her to talk to her about breastfeeding. And we just immediately clicked. I just immediately felt safe and listened to, I think, in a way that I was missing or I hadn't felt during a lot of my pregnancy. And we very quickly got onto the topic of birth generally and how I was feeling. And I sort of word vomited at her the anxieties I was feeling and things. And I didn't even realize that it was an option to have a home birth with a midwife. But as soon as she talked me through that option, you know, I feel very, very lucky that we were in a financial position to do it.
With an independent midwife.
Independent midwife, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just knew when she talked me through what that process looked like, that that was something that I wanted to do. And so that really was the biggest catalyst of them all. That was the sort of turning point for me, that I'd found somebody that I could build a relationship with, that I trusted. So that was part one of the pregnancy at 36 weeks. The second part of the story is that we were right in the thick of renovating our house, our first new home together. We were literally about to exchange on this house as I found out that I was pregnant, and we nearly pulled out. And I actually was the one that was like, we can do this. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a big adventure. Which it was. It was definitely an adventure. It was quite stressful. We were like living in loads of different locations because we couldn't live in the house. I mean, the house had been in the same family since 1949. So like it needed like completely starting again. So that was kind of my pregnancy, was like moving around a lot whilst trying to renovate this house. And when we got to 36 weeks and I met Emma, then we had to have a conversation with our builder, Hammett, who definitely deserves a shout out in this story as well, because the guy's an absolute legend. But we basically said to him, we're like, do you think this house is going to be ready for a home birth? And he was like, what do you need? I was like, okay, well, I need a bedroom, a bathroom, somewhere to put a pool up. And he was like, okay, love a challenge. I will do my very best. And like him and his team, they were amazing. They worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, just to get those three rooms ready. Like the kitchen still didn't have a roof, but we just like, all we needed was those three rooms. So by the skin of our teeth, we put the bed up in our bedroom 48 hours before my due date. It was like changing rooms. It was like right up to the wire. And we were also obviously keeping our fingers crossed. We were like, if this baby comes early, like I'm going to have to go into hospital because the house isn't ready. So we got to my due date and I had stayed in contact. I wanted to keep my relationship going with the hospital that I was at, because like I said, I knew if anything changed that I would want, and I wanted to go into hospital, that I still wanted that there as an option. So I was still going to my appointments. I went into an appointment on my due date and I had what I think was, what sounds like it's a very, very common conversation now, which is, congratulations on your due date. We'll be booking you in for your induction on Friday. This is on the Monday. Yeah.
Wait. Stop. What do you mean? As in, yeah. I mean, I know that this is a common conversation, but can you break it down? Like, were there reasons given? Why? You know,
I felt very lucky. Again, thanks to you and thanks to Anna, I felt very equipped for the conversation. I knew what I'd wanted. I'd also had the opportunity to talk it through with Emma as well, to understand, again, my personal medical needs. And I, when they said that, and I said, thank you so much. I understand the benefits and the risks on both sides of induction versus not. I don't think this baby's ready to come out yet, unless you can give me a medical, and I tried to be as polite as I possibly could, unless you can give me a medical reason for booking me in for an induction, I would like to politely decline your offer. And I was kind of saddened. I mean, the thing is, they're just doing their job, right? Like, what became really clear from the gentle pushing that I was trying to do is like, they've just been given a bit of information. that they are then relaying. So like they couldn't really give me an answer as to why. I mean, the biggest irony of it all was they said the policy had just been changed from, I think it was 41 plus 5 to 40 plus 5. And they gave me a leaflet, but they hadn't updated the leaflet. So the leaflet said, basically, I was completely safe and fine going to 42 weeks. But they were saying, but that's not our policy anymore. But I'm like, but you've just handed me a leaflet that says that I'm fine unless there is a medical need. Anyway, so I was, again, kind of surprised, and it made me feel anxious. Obviously, you're like, I don't want to be a shit mom before I've even become a mom. Like, that's really stressful, because that's how it felt. It was like, this is like the sort of, again, the rhetoric was like, this is not the best thing for your baby to decline this induction, was the sort of the weight of it. So I left definitely feeling more anxious than I did when I arrived. I held my ground and said, look, let's compromise on this. I didn't want to, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, I wanted to kind of keep them sweet. I know I didn't need to do that, but I wanted to keep a good relationship with them. So I felt like I needed to find a compromise. And that compromise that we came to after a bit of a discussion was that I would come back in at 41 weeks, but I wouldn't be booked. I would then have another conversation about induction at that point if the baby hadn't arrived. So that was where we left it. And so then we'd gone from like keeping everything crossed that the baby didn't arrive early to then being like, but the baby needs to arrive within this specific window so that I don't feel this kind of anxiety that's brought on by this pressure of induction. So I came home, we spent the rest of the week, and obviously for us, in regards to the house, it was like every day was a bonus to just get more done. So they were like installing the kitchen over the rest of that week. And every day I was waking up going, like, again, like sort of closing my eyes and trying to listen to my body, and was like, it's not today. I can feel it. And I just like, it's amazing. Like I really do believe in like, listen to your body and it will give you signals for what's happening. And so I kept waking up going, it's not today. But it was great because they were getting the kitchen done, so it was fine. And then I was sort of starting to feel the pressure more towards the end of the week. And I was going, God, it's like, it's now Thursday, Friday, and I'm going to have to go back in on Monday. So I booked an acupuncture appointment for the Friday afternoon, and like an induction acupuncture. And look, it's one of those things. It's like, I will never have any hard evidence as to whether that did anything. But I feel like it felt like there was a shift that happened, both kind of in my body, but also just like psychologically. Like I left feeling lighter. I think also just the opportunity to talk to an outside ear who kind of understood, again, this kind of pressure of induction thing. So I left feeling much more positive, and left feeling like, I feel like this baby is like nearly ready to come out now. So I went home that evening. We had a really chilled evening. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, this feels different. This feels different and this feels exciting. And my bump had been like slowly dropping throughout the week. And then on Saturday morning I woke up and I looked at it in the mirror, and I actually took a photo of it and I sent it to some friends, and I just said, I don't think there is anywhere for this baby to go now other than out. So that feels like a really good sign. And the builders then turned up at 8:30 in the morning to carry on their day's work. And by this point, so we'd got the three rooms that we needed ready, and they were like, what else do you need? What else is good to have for the arrival of a baby? I was like, well, a banister for the staircase would be, from a health and safety perspective, that would be lovely. So they were like, great, okay, we'll focus on doing the banister today. So they set about on that. And then Emma, our midwife, was coming over at midday. And it was just great to see her. She was just calling in for like a general catch up, because obviously now by this point I was like 5 days past my due date. And I was feeling really excited, and I was like, things feel different. Things feel like they're moving. My bump's really low. I've got these sort of like low level period pains. And she was like, great, amazing. They're all really good signs. Just so you know, that could be anywhere between a few hours and like 7 days plus. So like all really good signs. Let's keep in radio contact. Go about your day. I was like, great. Yeah, okay. No, completely understand. But I was also thinking like, but it really does feel like this baby's ready to come out now. Like it felt really good. So she left and we had some friends coming over to see the house. They were like, oh, you're about to give birth and this is what your house looks like. And we went out for lunch. And whilst we were sat at lunch, I felt like I was having to concentrate quite hard on the conversation that was happening to like stay engaged in it. It was like my body was sort of like quietly shouting at me in the background, like trying to get my attention. And I was sat like eating my lunch, trying to concentrate. And I was like, this isn't low level period pains anymore. This is like, this feels like waves. This is coming in waves. And they're about half an hour apart. And I didn't say anything to anyone at lunch because I was thinking, well, if this is like 1% of what I'm going to be feeling in terms of intensity. And it was a thing that you said actually that really stuck with me. It's like that thing of when you have those very, very initial feelings, just like welcome them in, let them sort of like run over you. And I was just kind of like enjoying this. And I was kind of enjoying this feeling of like, nobody else knowing, like it was just like a thing for me, which was great, which was really nice. And then we left this cafe room for lunch and we went back to the house, and my friend Kate, who with, she was like, are you okay? You're like, you're a bit weird. And I was like, I'm fine. I think I might be in labor. And they were like, oh, okay, that's cool, we'll go. They actually ordered me some snacks on delivery because they were like, you guys do you now, we'll go on our way. And Ben at that point, my husband, who I haven't mentioned yet, but so Ben, my husband, he was like, right, okay, well, if you think you're in labor, we need to try and get the house like vaguely sorted. The kitchen had been installed by this point, but there was like plastic all over the kitchen. And he was like, right, you go upstairs, hunker down. I'm gonna just give me an hour and I'm just gonna like try and blitz the kitchen, get all the plastic off, set up kettle, toaster, microwave, like things that we might need in the next few days. So I did that and like literally was like maneuvering past all the builders on the stairs who were still drilling the banister in. Went upstairs to the bedroom, got my jammies on, got comfy, like got into the zone, stuck a film on, got into bed. And at that point I was like, so I was like watching this film but having to like pause it when the drilling started and then like play the film again when the drilling stopped. And I was like, so by this point the waves were, I could feel that they were closer together than they had been at lunch, but I didn't want to put too much pressure on it. I was like, I thought that I wanted to use an app or something eventually to just try and figure it out, but at this point I was like, I'm just gonna be aware of it and just like look at my phone and see what the time is to just sort of get a rough idea of like how often these waves, these contractions are coming. And by this point I was like, these are contractions. Before that I was like, they're waves. And I'm like, no, this is legit labor. And like clockwork, they were literally like on the hour, quarter past, half past, quarter to, for 90 minutes. So I was like, okay, this is it. And I was like trying to stay in radio contact with Emma as well, and was just kept saying like, niggles are getting nigglier, like waves are getting wavier. And she was just like, cool, keep me posted. She kept ending her WhatsApps with kisses and I was like, no, this isn't the end of the conversation, this is like we're carrying this conversation on. So it was sort of vaguely timing them throughout that. And then after about 90 minutes, so we're now at like probably half seven in the evening, and this next contraction comes and I'm lying in bed and I feel liquid. And I jumped out of bed and I went and sat on the loo, and textbook, it was my show. So like jelly like consistency, light pink tinge to it. And at that point I texted him and was like, we're on, like this feels like things are, feel like they're ramping up quite quickly now. Ben had been like popping his head in every now and again to check and see if I was okay. And then at that point, once I was like on the loo, and he came to check on me, And I was like, again, said the same thing. I was like, we're on. This is it. Things are like really moving now. And he was like, okay, I've nearly finished the kitchen. I can come up if you need me to. Should we ask the builders to leave? And I was like, do you know what? I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling in my space. I don't really feel like I need you here at the moment. And it would still be really nice to have a banister. So like, tell the builders to crack on. You crack on with the kitchen and I will just carry on. And throughout the next sort of, yeah, probably hour and a half, things just started ramping up. And again, I was really just like embracing it and like letting it come in.
What were you doing? What were you doing physically? Were you breathing? Were you moving?
Do you know what? Actually, I thought, again, because movement is the world that I'm in, I thought that I was going to be wanting to like move around and wiggle on a mat. And we'd already got one of those like totter and tumble mats like on the floor in the bedroom. So I was like rolling around on that. And I was like, this actually doesn't, like, this isn't where I want to be. So I was literally, I was basically just spending more and more time on the loo, but I was happy just sitting on the loo. And I was just breathing. And then if it like really died down, then I would just go back into bed and carry on watching film. Like it was at that point, it was either super chill, like really not a thing, or I felt like I needed to just be sat on the loo. Because my show was coming at that point, it was like I wasn't really anywhere else to be, but I didn't feel the need to move around in the way that I thought I might, which was a bit weird. But yeah, so over that next hour, then it started ramping up to the point that I was having to like close my eyes, really focus on my breath. It was probably like a 4-5 out of 10 intensity at this point. And then Ben came up again at about 8:30. And at that point, I was like, I need you here now. Like, this is starting to feel hard and intense. And I would love for you to, like, hold my hand and rub my back and, like, be at my beck and call to do the next bit. And it's probably time that we asked the builders to leave. They actually didn't leave for about another hour. I think they left at about 9:30. But it was great at that point. So Ben had like managed to get the kitchen set up, just came upstairs and then properly set the scene. So we did again all of those like lovely little key elements from birth box and from all the hypnobirthing that I did. So like ran me a bath, lit some candles, dimmed all the lights. One of the things actually that really surprised me that was great was the, I think there's a thing that you said as well about smells, the association of smells. So I had this like little tester pot from a moisturizer that we'd had on our honeymoon, and it was like the most amazing smelling moisturizer. I was like proper like whiffing that as these contractions were coming in. It was amazing how it just like took me to this like place in Bali that just made me feel like super happy, which was really interesting. I had the comb. I think I probably came to the comb a little bit too late, because actually like they'd gotten so intense by the time I was using the comb that I was like, it's not doing anything. But I think I was kind of, I should have used it earlier basically, because it then at that point was like really starting to ramp up. So I got into the bath, which I found super helpful. It was like just the feeling of being in warm water I found also incredibly helpful. And at that point then we had that like really special moment of like me being in the bath, Ben holding my hand, like squeezing my hand through contractions. And it just was like really lovely and exciting. But also I don't want to like, the contractions at that point were like hard. They were intense. And I was like really having to like dig deep to get through them. They were probably, I would say like a 7 out of 10. So it was like manageable, but hard. And then actually then at that point, so I was probably in the bath for about 30 minutes. And then I was like, I need to mix this up and find a new position. This setup isn't quite working for me anymore. The intensity is starting to get stronger. And so, and the other big bit was then I was like, I feel like I need a poo. Classic. So I got out of the bath. I got onto the loo because I felt like I needed a poo. And then it was literally like, it was like being in the bath was the like up bit on a roller coaster. You know, when you're sort of like slowly, it feels slow and you've got that sort of like excited adrenaline feeling. And then like once I sat on the loo, it was like I'd suddenly turned this corner and I was on the down. Like that, I had no control of what was going on. It was like 10 out of 10. Oh my God, this is potentially too much to handle. Which again, now I'm like, I'm pretty sure actually already at that point I was in transition, because I was in my head was going, holy mackerel, what if I've made a terrible mistake signing myself up for a drug-free birth and this actually is too much and I can't get through it. And that also, the vocalizations at that point really helped me as well. I was like, I was going for it. I mean, it must have actually been a pretty short period of time, but it's the thing of like not knowing how long it's going to last for, and also not knowing if it was going to get more intense. Like actually I was lucky that like that was the most intense point for me, but also because then I was like, these vocalizations were coming. And it's so funny because we'd like, you know, as again, I think as loads of people do, is like set out like, these are all the things that your birth partner can do so they feel they have something to do. And then because it had just suddenly gone off the chart, then it was like, I need Ben to do every single one of those things now. Like it, I could feel that the bump didn't feel like it was in the bump anymore. It was like lower than the bump. And so I was in this sort of haze trying to figure out, and Ben was going like, what do you need? And so I was like, right, you need to contact Emma and tell her that there is a baby on the way, like now. You need to try and fill up the pool. Can you grab the TENS machine for me? Like do all of these things, try and time my contractions. By this point, my contractions were like, it was all just kind of merging into one. But to be honest, we did do a little bit of timing contractions when I was in the bath, but I actually just found it kind of annoying. I was like, I don't really know what the start is and I don't know what the end is. So I don't know what the length is and I don't know what the gap is. And I actually kind of, if I did it again, actually, I would scrap it and I would just go, the contractions are coming when they're coming and I'm just gonna follow it. So that was one of the ones that went very quickly out the window. Ben, text Emma. Emma's one rule was like, if you think this baby is coming, call, don't text, because you want to make sure that I have that information. Completely forgot to tell Ben that she'd said that. So he texted her and was like, there's a baby coming. Luckily, she did see it pretty quickly. But then he ran to get the pool set up in, we actually got it set up in B's bedroom. And so he ran off and did that. Then he came back once he'd like started getting that set up and grabbed the TENS machine. The TENS machine was a really interesting one because he like put all the sticky pads on my back. And again, this is a one like we will never know what happened here. Was this placebo? Was this the end of a contraction? But he like put it on my back and I went, oh my God, that feels amazing. And he was looking at this machine. He's like, I haven't turned it on yet. But he didn't have the heart to tell
Hour
me.
Hour of the mind.
Right, totally. Yeah. He didn't have the heart to tell me. So he was like, cool, I'll just like crank it up then. But then with like whizzing around trying to do all these things. So then he was like, you're going to have to take the TENS machine because I need to be on the pool. And so I was like, again, it's like the contractions were so intense that I like couldn't really see. So I was like trying to figure it out, but it was like just doing like a simple task like that felt really, really hard. But I think again, I don't know. It felt like once the TENS machine kicked in, it helped again. Whether it was placebo, I don't know, but it felt like it was doing something. Or the other possibility is that I'd hit the peak already. And then actually where I had felt at that top point, like I felt like just the air was just being smashed out of my lungs. I felt like I was finally able to get a bit of control back of my breath. We're still definitely talking 8 or 9 intensity, but it had started to ramp down slightly by this point. And again, Ben was sort of like whizzing around at a million miles an hour. And then Emma luckily had seen the message, called Ben, again, thinking that we had at least several hours, and heard me having a contraction in the background. And she just was like, is that Lottie? He's like, yeah. She's like, okay, there's a baby on the way. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to be with you in 20 minutes. Can you hold on that long? And then she said, and Ben, if you think that this baby's going to arrive before I do, call an ambulance. And if Lottie can't get off the loo, put a towel down the loo to catch the baby. And that was the only, Ben had done such an amazing job of staying like super calm. He was just like wonderful. He just like popped his head down the door and was like, do you think we need to call an ambulance? I was like, and I'd heard Emma say that she's going to be 20 minutes. And at the time I was like, oh, well, I don't think I've been through the transition yet. Obviously I definitely had, because
oh my gosh. Like, you can imagine poor Ben. You just pop a little towel underneath the loo so you can catch the baby. He's like, what?
He's like Ben frantically trying to get his head around the idea that he might have to deliver the baby.
Deliver the baby, yeah.
And I was sick at that point. So I like suddenly felt unbelievably sick. Ben, again, I literally opened the bathroom door. There was like one of the builder's buckets outside from where they'd been on the banister. They brought the bucket inside. And I was sick. And actually that was the point. Then it really started ramping back down again. So the next bit to me was just a total blur. And then Emma arrived 20 minutes later. So we're now at like 10:45, just before 11. And she was, oh my God, she was amazing. I was like, I've never been so happy to see anybody in all my life. And she was just, she was total stealth, but like this incredible, like super energized, super excited, but was just like getting shit done at like a million miles an hour, but really calm. And then she just came and put her arm around me, gave me a kiss on the forehead. And she went, hello, darling, we're going to have a baby. And I was like, yeah, you're here. This is amazing. And I just, again, I felt so safe with her. And then once she was there and I was like, right, I'm ready to do this now. Like I've got everything that I need. And so she was like checking my blood pressure and checking baby's heartbeat and doing all of the things. And I was at that point, I basically was like, right, the pool's not going to be ready because Ben's had like what felt like 5 minutes to fill it up. So I'm now going to have to try and figure out what position I want to give birth in, which is actually really not something that I put a lot of thought into. And also I'd been, up to that point, I'd been pinned to the loo. Like nothing was going to get me off my, I don't understand how people are at that stage of labor and then they get in a car and they drive to a hospital. Like that is so stressful because I was like, I could not leave the loo. But then actually once it started ramping down and once Emma was there, I then suddenly felt able to move and wanting to move in a way that I actually hadn't done at all up to that point. So I stood up and I was trying to figure out a position that I could give birth in. And what felt sort of natural to me was to stay standing, lean over the bath.
So was the plan then to start thinking about giving birth? Because you hadn't had a VE. So obviously,
Emma was just like, you just don't need, I mean, the head was like basically there. Like,
oh, wow.
I could see like, we weren't at like crowning stage, but I could see that the head was like, I could see the head.
So you were fully dilated. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Emma was just like, don't need to do anything. Like this baby's about to arrive. And so I was like stood up, I was leaning over the bath and I was sort of like rocking my hips side to side, which felt really good. But I know had I tried to do that like even 10 minutes before, probably it would have felt horrendous. But that started to feel really good. And then literally the most incredible timing ever, Ben pops his head around the door and goes, the pool's ready. Oh, so good. But it was so funny because in my head, I'd heard people say like, oh, you know, you're advised not to get into the pool until you're at X stage of labor or whatever. So in my head, I was like, oh, maybe Emma's not going to let me get in the pool. And she was like, get in the pool. You're going to have a baby, get in the pool. And I suddenly felt able to, again, get up, like walked next door, got in the pool. And Emma was like running behind me, like pulling the TENS machine off my back. I was like, don't get in the pool with the TENS machine on your back. So she got the TENS machine off. I got in the pool. And again, it's so funny, isn't it? All the physicality stuff, like all of it really surprised me that I like really wasn't physical at all. And then when I got in the pool, I think the most surprising bit of the whole thing, I think this is partly though, so there was like a minimum and maximum of like where the water could be in the pool. And obviously Ben had only had an opportunity to fill up to the minimum level. So when I got in, and that feeling was absolutely incredible, but it was relatively shallow. And so actually all I wanted to do was lie on my back to get as much of my body into the pool as I could. Which again, like, just did not see that coming, because of, you know, all the stuff that I'd heard and read. So I was lying on my back, and at that point, oh, so funny, at that point then Emma was like, "Are you pushing?" And I was like, and in my head I was like, "No, don't be ridiculous." Like, I would know if I was pushing, don't be ridiculous, of course I'm not pushing. And then suddenly I was like, oh my God, I am pushing. Like, it was properly, my body just took over. My brain hadn't even had time to catch up with what was going on. And I suddenly realized after Emma had like seen my body pushing that I didn't realize that I was pushing. It was mad. And so then I was like, yeah, I am pushing. And we'd had a conversation previously, like a couple of weeks beforehand, where we were like planning the birth. And she said, do you want to be coached to push? And again, from everything that I'd seen and read, I was like, I know my body. I think I want to just give it a crack and see how we go. And she was like, yeah, cool, totally hear you. And I was like, but I trust you. And if you think that I'm struggling, or there's something that you, if you feel like I need coaching, I trust you, and like, and go for it. Don't feel like you can't if you want to. So that was where that conversation was left. And so then when she said, I said, yeah, I am pushing. And then she responded by saying, don't push. And I was like almost annoyed at her, because I was like, what do you mean don't push? Like, I can't help it. Like, my body's just taken over and I'm pushing. She went, no, don't push, follow my breath. And then she started doing that sort of light level, like almost panting breath, like breathing out through her mouth. And I just was copying what she was doing. And it was amazing, because it's like, she just knew. She knew that was exactly what I needed. I didn't, because in my head, pushing, like being coached to push was like, push, 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 you can do it. And she knew that that wasn't what I needed. That baby was coming. She could see that the reflex had like fully kicked in. And so what she was doing was trying to like, almost like remove any pushing from the breath, so that my body could just do what it was meant to do. And it really was like, it was an incredible feeling. Again, the intensity at that point definitely ramped up, because that was like the ring of fire is a real thing. it's a real thing. So yeah, but it was literally probably, I think it was probably only 5 or 6 pushes, and Bee's head was born. And then the like one of the maddest bits, actually, which I hadn't heard anyone talk about, was the feeling of the rotation of the body. I was just not expecting it. Like, I had heard that had happened, but the feeling was like a really like powerful mechanical feeling. I can't really describe it, but it was just like, it was just so unexpected as like part of the birth process. And then probably another, again, 3 or 4 pushes, and Bee's body was born, and it was proper magic. I mean, Ben did manage to get like a 10-second video, and I look manic with joy. Like, I'm literally like, my face is like double the size of my face. And yeah, I'm just like, immediately brought her into my chest. We didn't know that she was a girl, which was like such a magical way to find out. And it was just so nice at that point. I mean, like, having had that kind of whirlwind, to then that moment was really magic. And it was really nice to just be able to spend as much time as I wanted in the pool. I mean, actually, I was ready to get out, I think, within like 10 minutes, because I wanted to just get like warm and dry, and I wanted to get Bee all like warm and snuggled up. So then we sort of maneuvered into the bedroom with puppy pads.
Did your placenta detach?
No, we were like proper. So I had like puppy pads like underneath me, placenta was still inside, and I was like cuddling Bee, and I was like literally like shimmying into our bedroom. And lay down on the bed. And with all of it, I was like, look, I'll give the natural version a crack. And if the natural version isn't working, then I don't have any problem going for the alternative. And I think by that point, I was just so ready to like be snuggled up with being Ben and, you know, have that bit over that I was very impatient. I was like, it was like 10 minutes. I was like, I'm done. Give me the injection. I'm done. Like, I just want that. I want it out. I want to be with my family now, and I don't want to be worrying about the next bit. I was very lucky that I didn't have any tearing, so I didn't need any stitches, and I was just like, I was done. And then, yeah, so once I'd had the injection, placenta came within 10 minutes. And then as that was happening, Danny, our lovely midwife support, arrived at that point because she was driving from Bedford, so she didn't quite make it in time. But it was really nice, actually, because it was a really nice way to, like, all of us telling the story from our perspectives to somebody that had just arrived. And then, yeah, we were drinking tea and eating crumpets in bed like 20 minutes later. So B was born at 27 minutes past 11. And Emma and Danny were there until about 2. And then they left, and I just stared at her face until the sun came up.
Gosh, you know, listening to that story is like, gives me such a feeling of like, when birth works, which it does for the majority of people, it just works really well. Do you feel like you trust your body after that, and you trust the process?
Yeah, totally. It's so funny, isn't it, with birth? Because it's like, I had this really strong instinct that was how it was going to play out. But you don't know. And I didn't even tell anyone that, because that was like something that I really kept to myself, because I was like, I'm going to feel like an idiot if I'm wrong about this. But that was really the thing that led me to want a home birth. I mean, look, this might be a completely different conversation now had I been wrong. And again, we'll never know. Was that gut thing luck? Was that gut thing right?
But you set yourself up. But physiological birth works best when it's undisturbed. You were undisturbed pretty much the whole of your labor, right? And so you don't know that actually going into hospital could have slowed things down. These things, you know, these things that seem minor do have an effect on the physiology, right? So you did like give yourself the best possible chance for the body to just work.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that birth did not happen by accident. That birth happened by seriously careful planning, and a lot of research and time and thinking it through.
And your mindset, not going in with fear, not having tension in the body because you didn't have all of that fear.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that I made the decision. Again, like that was kind of why I wanted to come on here and talk to you. It's like, if there is anyone else that is listening to this that is feeling the same, of like, there is something so powerful about that intuition and that gut, I'm so pleased that I listened to it. But it took I had to dig so deep to do it. It wasn't something that was just really easy for me to be like, well, I think that this is, and I really envy people that are in that position, that just go, I listened to an amazing home birth story actually on your podcast, where somebody, the Irish woman, and she was like, I just knew that this is what I wanted to do. It's like, I really envy that feeling of like,
yeah, she went to one appointment, didn't she, with the obstetrician, was like, nope.
yeah but I couldn't do that for a bunch of reasons.
Same. I need to interrogate it as well, so like, that's why I didn't have a home birth. And the thing is, like, we know, everyone listening knows that of course things can go wrong, and home birth is not ideal for everyone, and actually sometimes you do need to transfer in, but the majority of times when you're low risk, it is the safest place, isn't it? The safest place statistically to give birth. And I'm so glad you just trusted your intuition, and I know that people listening will be inspired by your story, especially because your default was going to be the hospital birth. So what would you say to someone listening who was very anxious about birth, what would your one takeaway or your one tip that you want to leave people with at the end of this be?
Do you know what? Actually, my one tip, if somebody is feeling anxious, it's to listen to your soundtracks. Like, I believed it when I hypnobirthing was like on my radar, and it made sense to me. It just like immediately stacked up, and it was something that I then was kind of like drawn to. Now my feeling around the power of the subconscious, it's like I feel it so deeply because of the impact that it's had on my life, that I think that actually those affirmations and like, it's like you say, like, oh, try not to think about it too much on a conscious level. It's like you can't help it. Like it's really hard to not overthink it. So then actually all you can do that you have control of is your subconscious, because that hits in a slightly different way. And so I think actually for me it really is the power of, because I think hypnobirthing now is like such a broad umbrella term for like education within this landscape, but actually the like the hypno part of it, which now feels like it's quite a small part of this whole conversation, which is a really, really positive thing, but actually the hypno part of it, I do think is the most powerful part.
I'm so glad you've said this, because it took me about 2 years to come to this conclusion, and I totally agree. I say to everyone, you can if you choose one thing, do the meditation. The thing is as well, it's like people say, oh well, I don't do meditation. I didn't used to meditate, and now I cannot envisage my life without it. Whenever I want to achieve any goal, I am literally programming my mind at subconscious level, and then I'm showing up the person I want to be because the work's been done. And it's like your brain does the work without you really even having to put much effort into it, and you just feel it, don't you? You feel that confidence that can't be denied, which you can't get from a conversation, because you'll forget half of the things that I say. If we did a hypnobirthing course right now, 2 hours, I gave you my best of my material, by Friday you'll be able to tell me probably about 10%. If you did spend the whole week doing the tracks, you may not even be able to tell me actually, but you will have a feeling.
It's intuition. I think the two things so go hand in hand.
Well, big shout out to your lovely midwife, Emma, and your husband, Ben. They sounded like they did an amazing job. And I really hope that they enjoy listening to this amazing podcast, that you've now shared your story with the world. And I always say this, but just know that it ends here, but it doesn't, because thousands of people will listen to your story and they'll feel empowered and maybe even be really influenced to go and have a home birth. So thank you so much, Lottie. It's been amazing. If you want to share that clip, I would be delighted to share it on Instagram and when I publish this, but no pressure. I know it's quite a private moment in your lives.
I'll have a think,
yeah. You can blur out any bits. All right, Lottie, thank you so much.